There you go. And Chase had it on the news today. Came out yesterday that in the 17th congressional district race, Bill Flores with a 12 percentage point lead over Chet Edwards in a poll that I guess The Hill published. And, you know, we still got early voting going on all
today and tomorrow, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Not this weekend, though, right? Does it end tomorrow?
No, it ends tomorrow.
It ends tomorrow.
8 a.m. to 8 p.m. today and tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Hopefully, you know, if you wanted to vote early, you already have, and if not, you've got still plenty of hours to be able to do that.
Yeah. I cast my ballot day before yesterday, so Tuesday.
Were you the youngest person there?
By far.
Yeah. As was I the day that I voted.
Although I was not the biggest celebrity there, I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, really? Was Bob French there too?
No, even bigger than Bob French.
Oh, my gosh.
Because Bob French hasn't won a Heisman Trophy, my friend. So,
I'll
let you run your own imagination.
Okay, that's fine. You're telling me that Archie Griffin was here to vote?
Well, I don't know if he's registered in Brazos country.
That's true. He may not be. May not be.
But, speaking of that Heisman Trophy winner, have you guys seen that statue?
No.
Yes, it's remarkable.
You need to go and look at that thing. That is it's pretty big. And it's pretty amazing.
It's a big statue.
It is a big statue. If you've ever been up to Bricktown in Oklahoma and seen the statue of Mickey Mantle out front of that ballpark, it is that big and is that that awesome looking. It really is.
Well, anyway. He and I voted together.
Did you go in the booth together?
Yeah, we held hands.
Oh, cool.
Oh, really?
And,
we skipped.
Awesome. Man, that's great.
No, it was, this was around, let's say 12:45-ish, not very crowded.
Yeah.
But then again, and this was at what Karen McQueen has said was the busiest location. It was over at the College Station Utilities Training Center.
Okay. That's
well, you just went, what time of day did you go?
That's what he said.
12:45.
See, you went during the lunch hour, I guess. So I guess people were eating.
Well, the votes continue to roll in from around the country from the early voting and absentee ballots. And the numbers on some of the blogs that are run by, like one of them that's run by Dr. Michael McDonald of George Mason University in Virginia.
I was going to say, I wondered what happened to him after he left the Doobie Brothers.
Well, he still sings jazz, does some solo stuff, but I don't think that's what we're talking about. Anyway, 2 years ago, Democrats had an edge in many states, which was kind of a precursor for their wins in the 08 elections. This year, the edge in some states goes to the GOP. For example, in Colorado, close to 500,000 early votes cast so far. 41.7% have come from Republicans, 36% from Democrats. And I don't know if we have any updated Texas numbers or not. What we had seen was 600,000, I guess, after the first week.
No, we had, I had...
I'm sorry, did you have something
else? I had updated numbers yesterday on the news, and this was as of Friday, so this would have been the same time frame that we had here in Brazos County, and it's essentially the same percentage statewide in the 15 most populous counties, about a 10% turnout, and almost twice as many people voting in early voting this year as opposed to the election 4 years ago.
Okay, all right.
And that's the comparison that they use because we elect a chief executive on the off election year.
Sure. Now, in 2010, the early voting in Clark County, Nevada, that's Las Vegas, showing 45.5% for the Democrats. In 08, 52% for the Democrats. So that's kind of sliding down a little bit, and Republicans are up 8%. So, you know, again, we'll see how all that plays out. Now, while we're talking about those early votes and such, Lisa Murkowski, senator at least for a little while longer, waging her write-in candidacy. Yesterday, a state judge said polling place officials cannot provide voters with a list of write-in candidates. That obviously would make it much easier because her name would be right there. The ruling, a victory for both the Alaska Republican
really wouldn't be
and
a write-in campaign,
parties.
Though, if that happened.
Yeah, that's true. Here's a list of possible. Because, after all, why couldn't you put Chase Murphy in there, you know?
But he wouldn't get any vote. His vote wouldn't be counted, right? Because don't you have to be at
a resident?
And there's such a thing as an official write-in eligibility?
No.
Now, I was told in the last presidential election, like in the state of Texas, that if you voted for,
Mickey Mouse?
Say, Mike Huckabee,
all right,
that it would not count because he was not officially registered as a write-in candidate.
I don't know that. That may well be, but I've never heard that.
Well, you never heard? Well, I did hear that last time. And anyway, somebody tell me that I'm wrong, but I think there is an official write-in eligibility list or something, at least in Texas. But anyway.
Barack Hussein Obama, the president of U.S. America.
All of you know who I am.
Of course. Trying to get to that base, you know, and that base may be only 127 people that were in the Daily Show studio audience yesterday, but, you know, 49 seconds of nonstop applause and screaming and yelling on Jon Stewart's show. Mm-hmm. And again, if you want to critically think, it's a fun show to watch, but you really probably shouldn't get all your information from there. Anyhow, he's there trying to get the young voters to get out to the polls. Now, this Saturday, he'll be at an afternoon pep rally in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Connecticut, pretty much a blue state. Bridgeport, pretty much a solidly blue city. It is the Saturday before the election, and the president has chosen a bastion of Democratic strength to be at. What does that tell you about things? And by the way, I don't know if you saw this. I didn't see it. My wife told me about it 2 days ago, but I finally got the quote here. The president was on an interview on Univision. And in that two-way, he said, quote, if Latinos sit out of the election instead of saying, we're going to punish our enemies and we're going to reward our friends who stand with us on issues that are important to us, if they don't see that kind of upsurge in voting in this election, I then think it's going to be harder. Should the president of the United States use words like punish our enemies?
Not in talking about going to vote, I would think.
I find that to be extremely inflammatory. Tell me what would happen if a Republican said that. Mm-hmm. I believe folks would be all over them. And, you know, granted, I don't watch the show and I don't know, and all I can go by is what Hannity and some other people have had, but Joy Behar's got a nasty mouth for network television. I don't know. I'm amazed. I am amazed that that Barbara Walters hadn't sat her down and said, girl, you can't be doing that. Can't be doing that.
She's one of the ones, you know, who walked off on Bill O'Reilly.
But she's using the B word, talking about Sharon Angle, and has done it for a couple of shows. And, you know, that's talk about inflammatory.
Yeah. Well, Joy Behar is, first of all, she's not all that funny. Yeah. And you know.
I know nothing about her.
Well, yeah. She purports herself to be a comedian.
Yeah.
And I thought comedians were supposed to be funny. Yeah. I'm sorry.
This is kind of scary. And for folks who are old enough to know the music of The Who, we won't get fooled again. That line, meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about this. There's a guy named Dave Camp. He's a representative. He's an incumbent. He's pretty much running unopposed in Michigan. Yet he's getting lots and lots and lots of money for his campaign. And the reason is, if the Republicans take control, he's going to be chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. So why is he getting a whole bunch of lobbyists to give him money? And then there's Howard McKeon. He's gotten hundreds of thousands of dollars from the military industry because he'll be the chairman of the Armed Services Committee. So, in other words, there you go. They're already dumping money on these guys who don't have the committee chairmanships yet. So I know you want to think about how Washington is going to change if the Republicans take over, but it's not. And I mean, I understand what the Tea Party wants to do about changing Washington, but it's not. There's plenty of money out there, and no matter who's in charge, the game is never going to change. They're going to dump money on the people who are going to be in leadership positions no matter what party. I'm going, wait, that's the CSI music they're playing back there. And what this song talks about, and if you got time in the next 2 or 3 days, look up the lyrics to this song. Chase, do you know what year this came out?
Give me a moment.
I want to say 1968, I don't know, 1970, something like that. And it really does. It talks about the idea of their
8.5 minutes long.
Yeah. It talks about how the folks get all ginned up about having some new leadership out there who's going to change the way things have been done. And as the line says in there, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And you think you won't get fooled again, but you just might. And I hate to say that, but, you know.
1971.
Okay. Well, news right around there when I was supposed to be studying, then I was listening to that.